Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I have a pretty interesting show in store for you this morning. We'll ask that you hold your questions until after the top of the hour. After the top of the hour news from the Salem Radio Network, we'll open the phone lines. And if you'd like to call and jot that number down now, it's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the phone coming back, or sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. We'll start this morning with our guest. It is the second Tuesday of the month. That means city staff is in, headed by City Manager Aaron Kubik. And Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Before we get into really today's topic, just a couple of questions for you. After yesterday's marathon city council workshop, we ended up electing a president and vice president of council, and that's the first time that's ever been done. How did that come about? Is that kosher? What is the protocol here, and what are the responsibilities of each? Can you outline that for us?
Sure. And Happy New Year.
And the same to you, yeah.
Yeah.
We got through it, didn't we?
We did. It's been a great New Year so far. So we did have our first council meeting, and each year during our first council meetings, one of the first things we do is we elect a council president. So we have the mayor, who is there, who facilitates the meetings and is someone that represents the city. In the mayor's absence of a meeting, we do have a president, a council president, that's nominated and recommended by the city council. So we normally go through that process. Very, very first meeting we did this year again. And we had a great, lively discussion about the candidates. There were two people that were both interested. Vanessa Ogier, Councillor Ogier, and Councillor Rick Riker were interested in serving as council president. And the council had, a lively discussion on that. Ultimately, we had a couple of nominating votes and came up with ties each time. So it was really difficult, and we were getting to a stalemate aspect of who really is going to be the next council president. So what council decided to do was to elect a president, but also have a vice president. Now, that's a new thing for us. We normally don't have a vice president. The vice president is not called out in our procedures or in our policies associated with council. We do have the mayor and we have the council president. So this year, we're also going to have a vice president. So in order to break that stalemate that we had and actually have a win-win for all of council, because obviously we had four council members that wanted Councillor Ogier, and we had four council members that wanted Councillor Riker. And so in order to fix that, we just created a new position for this year, which was vice president. So Councillor Riker is a council vice president, and Councillor Ogier is council president for the 2024 year.
Can you outline the various responsibilities for each, or is it the same and one will stand in for the other?
So if you are a council president, there are some additional responsibilities that you hold versus a council member. Some of those additional responsibilities are meeting with the city manager and the mayor twice a month to go over agenda items, to set the future agenda for council, to meet with the Board of Commissioners once a month when we have a joint meeting between the Board of Commissioners and the city manager and the mayor and the council president. And in these situations, both the council president and the council vice president will serve a dual purpose. Of course, if the mayor is not at a meeting, like I mentioned earlier, the council president has the responsibility of facilitating those meetings. In the absence of the mayor and the council president, the vice president will serve in that position. And there actually has been times in the past where the mayor and the council president have been absent from a council meeting, and we've had to just nominate someone to take on that role. So in this situation, we'll have that covered, and that'll be taken care of. The council president also serves as a contact for media relations. Usually it's the mayor and the council president. In this situation, we'll have a third council member that can also serve to speak for council when it comes to media contacts. And then there's a couple of other just general meetings that the council presidents usually attend that represent the city more on a regional basis.
All right. All that being said, now, is this something that will continue into the future, or is your crystal ball hazy on that this morning?
Well, that ultimately
will this go on forever?
Yeah,
did we set a precedent here?
You know, I'm not sure if a precedent's being set. That's ultimately for council to determine and decide. Right now, what we have is we've got this happening for this year, and don't see any major policy changes associated with that. Or at least we're not directed by council to change the policies that we have in place to actually formally create for future years a vice president role. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right. One more quick question on procedures, because we've not had an evening business session for the council since early in December, and we won't have one now until February, as I understand the schedule. Is that outlined in the city charter, and I understand yesterday did fulfill the obligations of having a city council meeting. So where are we? Where are we with that? And when can people expect to attend a council meeting in the evening again?
Oh, so and provide public comment and all that kind of good. So our normal business meeting. Yeah, we had a special business meeting in conjunction with our normal workshop yesterday. And the reason why we chose to do that is we only had some consent items, which are usually routine in nature and don't require a lot of discussion or public comment. We did not have any true business items to be adopted that were future policy decisions. So in order to just be efficient, to reduce an evening meeting for all of those volunteers that are associated with being on council and stuff, a council decided to just roll that into a workshop and take care of the consent items in that one day. So we do have our next business meeting coming up February 7th. So that's going to be our normal meeting in the evening at 6 o'clock. And that provides an opportunity for public comment.
Just had to get some of those things out of the way. And I think the public appreciates that.
Yeah. This year was really weird when you look at the calendar and you know, the days off and the times that we normally have our council meetings, because we have our council meetings in the evenings on the first and third Wednesday of each month. And we have our workshops the Mondays before those council meetings. And it just happened that the way the holidays fell and stuff like that, that it
yeah, it'll be over 6 weeks between an evening session.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Let's get on with today's agenda. And you've got a special guest here, and we're going to talk money today. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. We have Hacksaw J.C. Rowley here.
Hacksaw?
Yes, that was a nickname we had put together for him. I think it was last year's budget process. But, yes, J.C., our finance director, is here, and wanted to have as a potential discussion point today some direction that council provided at yesterday's workshop. This is a long time coming direction. We've been working on public safety funding for over a decade in Grants Pass, recognizing that there were some constraints with the general fund in funding police, fire, and support services like dispatch and records. And we have finally got some direction over those years, and we've tried. It's not a lack of trying. We've put things to ballot. We have the public votes in a levy.
It's been a matter of discussion for years.
It really has. And so we're quite excited that council's provided additional policy direction. And that policy direction is for us to implement a utility fee that would be a public safety fee. It would be on your utility bill, along with us getting prepared to do a general sales tax for the city, which would be the first in the state. So those are the two policy directions. And so now internally, we're going to be doing a lot of work to get prepared for that, because it is going to require some work. But the details of that, I know JC can jump in and talk to you a little bit about that. But that is the two policy direction items in order to help stabilize public safety funding. And we're quite excited. It was a big leadership step for council to take that direction and provide that direction. And we look forward to working with council to implement those things.
All right, JC, first of all, you know I have to ask about Hacksaw. Where did that come from? Did you really cut up a bunch of things?
I think it was in the current state that the City of Grants Pass budget currently was in. Because of the general fund and public safety funding and having certain constraints, I had to take a more robust approach and firmer stance on certain things to make sure that we were meeting our obligation as far as presenting a balanced budget. And as we go through it, I found that this nickname has made it easier about people asking me for more money. So it has been kind of a blessing in disguise.
Are you owning it?
I am definitely owning it.
Okay.
It started during, I think, our duel as finance director. He plays a huge role in the city's budget. As city manager, I hold the title as a budget officer, but really a lot of responsibilities are associated also with the finance director. And so we were doing our first budget meeting, providing the budget message, and it was a tag team approach. And I was coming in, I was doing my part, and JC was coming up and he was doing his part. And I announced to the budget committee, all right, we're tag teaming this, and I'm tapping out, and here comes, and just threw out their hacksaw rally, and it stuck.
All right. Well, Hacksaw Rally, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Let's deal first of all with what we're talking about. And the city council's come up with a plan generally to fund public safety in addition to the $1.79 levy that's already been approved. And we'll deal with that in a moment or two. But generally speaking, we're talking about a $12 fee on the utility fee that will be a law enforcement situation. And as I understand it, a percent and a half sales tax. Do we have any more details on that and what it's going to take to get that implemented and how soon is that going to happen? And we know that they're going to have at least one more public hearing on this, a public forum coming up.
So, yeah, the public forum, I can respond to that real quick. We've got a date established for February 15th at 6 p.m. where we will be doing a public forum on this. And there's a lot of information that we're going to need to put together, but we will have some kind of learning and listening session where council has an opportunity to provide information and get some of that out there to the public, and then also to listen to the concerns associated with these two funding sources for public safety.
All right. How much money will we raise here with, generally speaking, how much money can you project that will be raised?
So with the utility fee, we're looking at probably a net of about $3.3 million a year to start, depending on how the municipal code goes in. And normally with all of our rate structures, we add a CPI or an inflationary increase every January 1st. So that's where we're planning on starting. The timing of that potentially could potentially as fast as council would like to do it, because we do have a previous muni code that we did have adopted, I think, over 10 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, regarding the jail fee. And it's the same structure that we are going to use for public safety funding, which is a transportation model, which seemed to be the most correlated to the actual public safety services when you look at the call volumes for both police and fire. So that's where we're going to start, and potentially council could adopt that potentially at our next business meeting.
So I think that's a good point to note is the format that we're utilizing for the utility fee is based on transportation, and it is what, like JC mentioned, what we used back in 2013, I think, and to raise some additional funds to buy jail beds when we had that issue with the criminal justice system. And so it has been a proven methodology that does have a good link to level of service. And so those individuals that are listening that have been here for, you know, back in 2013, they may remember that. And that's the similar type of thing that we'll be utilizing.
All right. So with the public safety utility fee, we'll raise over $3 million for there. That's not enough. So we have the sales tax, percent and a half. How's that going to be distributed? How is it going to be collected? And how much money do we expect to raise? All of those questions here.
That's a good question. I don't think I have all of the answers to your questions. Part of the estimations that we looked at were a previous parameter aspect that was raised in 2015 as far as a criminal justice sales tax that was previously presented. And I think we estimated 1% would about give us $4.5-ish million for in today's current market. However, We would be the first in the state of Oregon to have a sales tax. And so we could potentially define that however we see fit. So there's still a lot of questions and variables as far as potentially what services, what goods would be taxable, as well as staying in line with some of the federal guidelines of the things that aren't taxable.
Okay. Do we have any parameters on what will be taxed and what won't be taxed? I'm assuming that food will not be taxed or certain kinds of food.
Generally speaking, I believe that when you look at some of the other state models, there are some limitations on things that you can do with grocery. But as far as general commodities and goods, your toiletries, those are taxable, as well as your kind of discretionary food and beverage kinds of items as well. There was a question that got brought up yesterday in the meeting of looking at certain service types like accountants, lawyers, and things like that. And we're going to really have to do our research as to figure out what the actual legal parameters would be and allowable based on certain guidelines.
All right. So services are still a question mark right now. Medical.
I think there's some federal guidelines as to what medically can be charged. I don't know. Again, I'm not an expert on sales tax being a long-term employee in the state of Oregon. And so it's not common for us to have to dig through that code. But that's, again, something we're going to have to do our research on is to figure out all the nuances. And doing some preliminary looking at the state of Washington, which is what we did some of our research on, there are hundreds of pages of exceptions to potential sales tax rules and when it applies and when it doesn't apply.
So you have a lot of reading to do.
I've got a lot of reading to do, as well as our city attorney.
Okay. In terms of collection here, this goes out to how much burden does this put on the retailer out there, the business owner, the people who provide those services?
No, definitely. I think there's going to be some administration and programming that would need to go into the collection of this. A lot of point-of-sale systems currently come with a default as far as taxable because they do go across multiple states. However, there are probably still some mom-and-pop shops out there that maybe do certain things by hand. And so obviously that will be somewhat of something we'll have to work through and help the community in how they would be able to remit those taxes.
Are all of that being considered, let's see. See if my math is right. You're a little over $3 million. $3.3 million is what I heard. A little over $4 million. So basically, we're looking about $8 million to be generated with this. Am I close there?
Yeah, that's pretty in total? Good estimation. The timing of which, because of the legal aspect of the retail sale or general retail sales tax, potentially, we're looking at a between 12 and 18 month implementation. And that goes, again, how specific and how we, council may want to tailor it in their image.
All right. We have a public forum coming up in a little over a month now. Will all of this be outlined by that time? Will the people really know exactly what we're looking at by that time?
So we talked to council a little bit about that yesterday, just to try to get some parameters and get clarity on what we might be bringing forward in the forum. What we came to a conclusion on is staff is going to try to do as much background information as possible to take a look at other communities, Washington, California, et cetera, and say, for instance, Washington. Try to take a look at some cities that have similar characteristics to Grants Pass. And so we have a better idea of how some of those sales tax work because they vary a little bit from community to community sometimes. And we will try to mirror and learn from those communities what they have exempted, what they have included, do they have caps on things. And we'll try to come up with some commonality between some of those communities. And from that perspective, we'll draft up a proposed something that has some of those commonalities for an initial discussion point. And we anticipate with the learning and listening session that we'll be having, we'll at least have some information that will provide some good background for discussion. and to be able to hear, hey, you know, what this probably shouldn't be included, or why haven't you considered this? And that's the kind of information that I think also council's wanting to gather, and that we're wanting to gather, so we can make sure that we've heard from the community when it comes to implementing a sales tax, what should and shouldn't be included, and at what level, so we can implement something, along with talking about how things would be implemented. Is there going to be an administrative fee associated with the gathering of the taxes that, the community, that the businesses can keep for themselves, that kind of thing? Those are all things that we will need to mark out and try to have something. We need to have a discussion point. We need to have a starting point. Now, what we'll be proposing and looking at is not going to be the set in stone thing. This is, hey, this is what we're looking for. Give us your input. And then from there, council will move forward to try to make the policy decision and maybe get some additional feedback. An important piece that JC hasn't mentioned yet, too, is during that process, there's going to be a lot of work in this next month. We're also going to be developing an RFQ or RFP, request for proposal, request for qualifications, on getting a partner to help us with this and finding a consultant that deals with this on a daily basis with communities throughout different states, so they can come on board to help us make informed decisions on implementing a sales tax.
All right. Let's see. We're getting short on time here. In fact, I have probably less than 30 seconds, but some of the things I'm interested in is how is this? This is not a done deal yet. This is just a plan that's going to be proposed. That's a 1.5% sales tax and a 12% law enforcement levy on your
$12 utility fee.
So that's the plan right now. At least the council has put together a plan, and on the 15th we'll have a forum to see where that goes.
Yes,
that's generally what we're having right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to stay tuned, because more to come here as we get into this a little bit more. And it's a I don't know how deep a dive we'll have, but it'll be a fairly deep dive. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band.
A family set.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The numbers to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question. In the meantime, we're talking about some significant financing situations for public safety that we've been dealing with here in the city of Grants Pass, in fact, Southern Oregon, for years. And we have a plan put forth now that is basically a public safety utility fee in conjunction with a 1.5% sales tax that will be implemented sometime in the future. This is not a done deal yet. It is not etched in stone. This is the plan going forward right now. We have J.C. Rawlings and City Manager Aaron Kubik. And just for the homeowner right now, let's say your utility fee is probably looking at an extra $12 a month. For the business owner out there, depending on lots of factors, it could be about $40 a month. So nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, those numbers are a little bit lower than what we talked about coming in the past year, as I understand it.
That is correct. And the reason for that is the addition of the sales tax as a funding methodology also. Okay. So it did lower it from what we were talking about, which was $23 up to $30-some mm-hmm. as a start for a utility fee.
Okay. And with that, this is – should this go through, this will be the first time in the state of Oregon that anybody has done this. So basically, we're reinventing the wheel. We're planning the course for the rest of the state if they want to follow the suit here that we're progressing. So we have nothing to compare it to except from around other states. Is that right, JC?
No, that's correct. And so we were going to leverage potentially a consultant, like the city manager mentioned earlier, as well as look at some of the legal jargon and code in other states, because that's probably the best place for us to start, as they have defensible mechanisms and or language as you implement these things. There are legal challenges, and that's where you start figuring out what those exemptions are, which is where the addition of legal jargon comes from as far as exemptions and things that get ruled off of state income tax. And some of those other states have done retail sales tax. Some of those other states have increased their code length because of the legal challenging of some of these things.
And we're limited by law on some of those things already here in the state of Oregon. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, there's some federal guidelines that we have to follow. There's also state of Oregon law, like liquor is already taxed. And so that is something I believe that is not taxable with a local retail sales tax.
All right. So it's almost a surprise that liquor is still not going to be subject to this percent and a half sales tax.
Well, we're obviously going to do our due diligence and look through all of the code and look at where we can and can't. But it'll be ultimately up to council as to what are the industries potentially that they may want to exclude from the sales tax.
All right. We have scheduled a forum for, was that February 15th?
February
15th. To put this plan in front of the public, and we'll have more details on exactly how it will work at that time. It is not a done deal yet. What then the council can vote on, and this doesn't have to go before the public to be instituted. I believe that's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. What is the council's position on should the populace disagree with this, they can come back through referendum and challenge it?
That's correct.
Okay. All that being said, what do we need to know now going forward? How much money is this going to cost me, and how much is it going to raise? How long will it last? When can it be instituted? How long will that take? When is this going to start happening?
Oh, good question.
Wow.
That's just
we need another hour. We need another hour here.
You know, I think we definitely need to do our due diligence and research. And even in talking to the consultants that we had yesterday, they looked at our financial projections and said those look pretty reasonable as far as a community your size and the industries in which you can pull certain data from. However, they also said with a caveat that you're not going to know until you actually implement it and you start collecting of what the true dollar amount potentially is. Can we do estimations after we have it implemented? Probably a little bit easier and a little bit better. But at this point, I couldn't necessarily put an exact number on what that means potentially per household, as everybody's spending habits are relatively different than everybody else's.
And sometimes changing here on a monthly basis, depending on the CPI that's coming in this week.
And I think implementation, though, big picture, looking at both a utility fee and a sales tax, we'd be stair-stepping those in the implementation. So a utility fee could be implemented, say, June. Or July or something along those lines, where the sales tax would be a year and a half out or something along those lines.
That far out?
Depending on you know, how much we are identifying and taking a look at developing a methodology, we don't want to underestimate the amount of time in order to put something like that together. So the first thing that will be coming as a new fee would be the utility fee first.
All right, and that will happen. That could happen at the council's will.
Yeah, we already have the code language ready to go, so council could potentially consider the code language in, say, a March or April council meeting, and then also make a call at that time on when to implement the $12 fee, if that's what it'll stay at, and we could be ready to go before the end of this fiscal year, which ends June 30th.
All right. Looking ahead, and we don't know when we'll be able to institute a percent and a half sales tax, should that really be implemented, and that looks like that's the plan as we speak. So looking at that, and if, in fact, we can raise between a little over $8 million annually to sustain law enforcement and add several more boots on the ground for the city police department also, will that have an effect on the levy? Is there any chance that levy could be reduced or forgiven, or did we throw you a curve there?
You want me to take it, or you?
You can start and I'll come in afterwards.
All right. So I'll take a first strike at this one. Is there a possibility that the levy can be reduced? I would say there could be a possibility the levy could be reduced, but it would be related to the amount of revenue that would come in from the sales tax. If we somehow underestimated the value of that 1.5% and it made a big enough impact to where it provided funding that would help even reduce the general fund even more than the general fund's need to provide dollars to public safety. There could be that option. We are not anticipating that at all. I mean, is it possible? Maybe, but there's we anticipate.
Should the sales tax bring in more than $8 million or up to $10 million or $12 million? That might be a possibility.
Yeah, or if the fee was in year 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever. Is it possible? I guess it would be possible, but that's not what we're anticipating and projecting.
No, just to add on top of that, currently our levy brings in about $7 million annually, and so that would be a pretty big gap for the sales tax to have to fill for us to remove that currently.
All right. All that being said, what do we need to know right now? What questions are you being asked about what's going to happen and what's going to happen between now and the 15th? What are we going to hear on the 15th?
So on the 15th, I think we haven't totally come up with the facilitation aspect of that meeting, but ultimately it's going to be some form of a learning and listening session where we'll be able to provide those individuals, and it's going to be like a council meeting. So council wants to be present. They want to be there. So it'll be a learning and listening session council meeting where we have the opportunity to provide the community additional information on what a utility fee would look like, how it would impact different sectors of the utility of the community, and then also the same with the sales tax. What we'll have a better idea at that time of, in general, what would be included, some general exclusions, and then after we've provided that information, we would, and linking it to the purpose of why we need that briefly, but we would then have an opportunity to listen to and have questions answered as best as we can on that evening also. One of the things that worked really well when we did a learning and listening session for the unhoused issue that we had in the injunction questions is we'll be doing the same thing for this learning and listening session. After stating when it was going to be, we asked people to submit questions in advance. And so that better prepared us and made that meeting extremely efficient because we had a list of number of questions in like five different categories. And we were able to go through and be prepared and succinct to give the community responses to those. So we're hoping that we'll again be able to have that community participation like we did for the injunction learning and listening session, because that was key to our success for that. And so we definitely are hoping that the public will submit questions that they have on either the utility fee or a potential sales tax, so we can be as efficient and effective as possible in communicating to each other about this new fee structure.
Are you set up to receive those questions right now?
Not yet, but we will be soon. Yeah.
Okay.
This is moving pretty fast. We just came up with the date yesterday after the meeting yesterday.
I was going to say, the marathon meeting yesterday, yeah. And suddenly we're all trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah, but we will be pushing that information out shortly.
All right. If you have questions, the number to call 541-472-1270, and we'll be right back after this important message.
Recycling at Southern Oregon's.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, number to call 541-472-1270. If you have questions about how we're going to pay for public safety here, we've got the people online right now to answer your questions. Once again, 541-472-1270. We have Finance Director J.C. Raleigh and City Manager Aaron Kubik in studio. So we still have lots of questions, and we're still putting together lots of more information for the public here. What are the public? What's been the public response so far to one sales tax, which certainly has raised a red flag around here a long time? It's gone down in flames the last time it was put before the public, but this one doesn't have to go before the public.
Yeah, I think maybe if JC wants to take this one, we did do a survey, and there were some good survey results, and that that's, I think, one of the things that council was making in some of their decisions on.
No, definitely. We put out a survey a few weeks back, and I think 75% of the respondents are aware of the financial woes of where the city is at as far as public safety, and they wanted some kind of funding option. I think it was still a little bit, maybe not as clear as what that option may be. And so there was support for various different options as part of the solution. I don't know if there is any one solution that would be the best for all of the community. I think there's probably going to be an effect on any individual based on any of the options that were presented in the survey and as well as to council. And I think council made the decision to try and affect potentially a more well-rounded base of the community.
So I recall that survey, there were options there that combined options, the public safety levy and the sales tax. And that appears to what has fallen out.
Correct, and we already have the approval of the levy from the voters. So we were looking at a food and beverage and a utility combination and a sales tax and a utility combination. We felt that the sales and food and beverage is one and the same because those are typically combined when you put those codes together. But there wasn't necessarily a clear winner, and from my perspective in the data. But as far as yesterday, council made the decision to pursue a sales tax as they deemed it as the best option as a combination with the sales tax and the utility fee.
Now, we've utilized consultants here to help with the projections, as I understand it. Should the projections for a sales tax fall well short? Is that a possibility, or have we taken that into consideration?
That is a possibility. That's also one of the cons, I guess, to implementing a sales tax or even a food and beverage. As we do have the city of Ashland close to us that does have a food and beverage tax, financially they do report annually as far as what those revenues are for those taxes. And the volatility in a time frame like COVID, you could definitely see there was a downturn in their tax collection. So that is one of the things that potentially we are looking at and we'll have to evaluate moving forward, as it's not a guaranteed revenue. You still have to have people make the expenditures. And in the event of an economic change like we've had currently with a rise in inflation, you could potentially see a decrease in those revenues. Because there is less spending.
I'm looking for some positive answers, and there just aren't any out there right now because we're still researching everything that needs to be done. And we'll have more of those answers by February 15th when we have that forum. What do you need to hear from the public right now in terms of guidance or directions or, maybe a gripe or two?
Well, I think what we'll be asking for is, when it comes to either the utility fee or a general sales tax, what kind of questions do they have? When it comes to either implementation, I'm a small business and how am I going to implement this? Or I'm in this field, is this going to be taxed? Or something along those lines. We are going to be thinking about that, thinking about how that might affect you, maybe your spending habits, and come prepared or either pre-submit, which would be absolutely wonderful, like we have in the past, your questions, and we'll be prepared to answer those questions to our best ability.
Now, you mentioned council will be on hand for this. As a full quorum, is there a possibility the council could take action that night?
Council did not express anything with regards to taking action that evening, and I don't think we'd be prepared from an administration standpoint to take any action because we're still in the process of trying to formulate a true methodology, and there's going to be further discussion on that, and that's one of the things that council is wanting. Yes, it will be a council meeting, meaning there's going to be likely a quorum of council there. The primary purpose of that is not to make a decision, according to my interpretation of council's discussion yesterday. The primary purpose is to be able to provide information on the steps that we're looking at and to listen, to hear the concerns, to help formulate future policy when it comes to both of those items before they implement it so they can make an informed decision.
All right. All that being said, sir, there's some answers yet to come up with here.
Yeah, this is very fresh. Like we said, we just got the direction yesterday and knew that this would be potentially a topic that would come up for discussion. So we are excited to work in partnership with the council and the community to try to figure out these mechanisms and what will work best.
I've got really about a minute and a half left here of the program. And if there's anything else we need to put out to the public, what they need to know right now, I've got one other question off topic. To deal with before we go away. So, JC, what do you need to know? What does the public need to know about your job between now and the 15th of February?
I think from the public standpoint, we are still doing our research as far as the sales tax. We are probably looking at as a baseline to start with the state of Washington's state code, and then look at other jurisdictions in the state of Washington that have a local sales tax on top of the state sales tax, which again is going to take quite a bit of research for us to pair out the things we either like and or don't like to give council the best informed decision as far as moving forward.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hacksaw. I appreciate that. Now, just real quickly on another topic here, we've all been talking about the injunction that the city is under here and whether the Supreme Court is going to hear that or not. What's the projection that we have right now, Aaron?
It looks like it's scheduled for them to discuss whether they'll hear the case or not this Friday. So this Friday, by the end of the day, we may get direction on whether or not they're going to hear the case. So we're excited that it might be happening this week.
Okay, so close of business Friday. Any chance to hear that earlier in the day? Or
yeah, it all depends on when they publish the future dockets.
Yeah, they don't work on our schedule, do they?
Yeah, no, we're not quite sure.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. It has been enlightening here. I know that there's a lot more work to be done before we get solid answers on exactly what it's going to cost and when it's going to cost. But when we do, well, you're back here every month. We appreciate that.
You bet.
You're listening to KAJO AM 1270, the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Want you to stay tuned. News coming up from the Salem Radio Network right here at 1270 AM.
Farmers.